Today's episode is brought to you by a team actually losing to the Boston Uprising.
It's high noon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to High Noon Podcast, the competitive Overwatch podcast. I am your host, The Blevins. With me, as always, is Deathblow. What's up, buddy?
Not too much, my man. Just recovering from the kind of crazy weekend we had here and figuring out all the bracket possibilities and all the implications of every match from this weekend going into the May Melee. It was quite a crazy weekend. Upsets everywhere, and it's going to get a little bit nuttier as we go into this tournament, so I'm pretty excited.
Do you like May Melee or May Mayhem or Mayhem? Although I guess we have the Florida Mayhem, so they couldn't do that. Okay, never mind. I figured out why they didn't go with that name.
Why not just Melee?
Yeah.
I think this was like a Twitter conversation or something like that, but it certainly doesn't feel branded.
All I'm saying is that the league dropped the ball heavily on the naming of this event, and I will never forgive them for that, but it's okay. I'm just saying, if there's a June one, if you're having a June event, just DM me. DMs are open. I'll give you better names than that. There's one thing I'm good at. It is coming up with dumb pun names. I know you guys would want that, but we've got a lot to talk about here. Some matches. We've got the May Melee. God, that the more I say it, the more I hate it. To talk about on both the Asia side and the North America side. We'll be going over those matchups and possibilities and all sorts of good stuff. But before we do that, of course, we got a little bit of housekeeping. Blackwatch Report hit the big 100. So huge shout outs. Clap in the chat and at home for Blackwatch Report. Death, they grow up so fast.
They do.
It's a little crazy to think that our guys, Kyle and Thorne, it seems like just yesterday they were asking us about starting a show, and man, 100.
A little pod baby.
Little second gen podcast baby there, guys. Make sure you're checking them out if you want to keep up with the tier 2 scene. And beyond, Blackwatch Report just hit their 100th episode, and I know they're having a giveaway or contest as well. The details of that are in the Discord, discord.me/highnoonpodcast. So, Death, let's move on here and talk about what we did this week. Anything fun and exciting for you?
I may or may not be super, super addicted to role-playing as a pirate on the Sea of Thieves. It's a problem. That said, I've been screaming. I mean, not for me. it's been so much fun. They've added so much to that game. I won't go into crazy details, but if you are a Sea of Thieves player or interested at all, I think I had like a 5.5 hour long stream, which might not be long in the streamer world, but for me personally, that's like a 48 hour stream. It was a lot of fun having a blast there, and not streaming everything because some of it is like rep grindy kind of stuff, and I like to just throw on a TV show or something while I'm doing it, or Overwatch League, or you know, what have you. But if I'm ever doing anything fun and interesting that I think is good content or that I might want recorded, I've been throwing the stream up. So yeah, D3ATH_BL0W on Twitch. Give me a follow, you'll see me go live.
Yeah, definitely make sure you get out your abacuses before then and unsheathe your hieroglyphics.
I feel like you don't know what an abacus is.
No, an abacus does math. You need math. You need to be doing math to be able to spell that name. That's what I meant by that. That was the joke in its entirety. For me, I've been cosplaying a different pirate in that Legends of Runeterra, the new set, has pirates in it. Bilgewater, the new region, Gangplank in the game, too. A little bit of a transition there.
Bilgrats is the thing in Sea of Thieves. Just merge them.
There you go. The same game. There you go. The card game is the same as
Legends of Runeterra is a Sea of Thieves card game. Now we know.
Yeah.
Now we figured
it out. I'd play a Sea of Thieves card game. You do. I already do. It's well, that's been fun. Been casting that on Sundays. And yeah, if you guys are interested in that, hit me up. I'll give you some details. It's a fun game. Fun stuff. TFT is happening. Deathblow and I may be casting some events in the future that have yet to be announced, but
when that become a regular thing, but we'll see.
We don't. We're old enough now to know not to hold our breath on things until
we don't count
is dried and we're in the go live button has been pressed and we're on Twitch.
We can get more cliches. How many more cliches?
Yeah, early bird gets the worm, et cetera. But as you guys know, we like to let you guys know when we're doing stuff there, so we'll throw it in off topic or something when that happens. But we'll move on here and get on to some
news.
Got a nice little packet of news here, considering that the one of the the former runner ups from season two, team the Vancouver Titans had disbanded. At least the roster had been disbanded. We're starting to see some of those players get picked up, but we'll get to those in a second. Brussen, I couldn't remember if we talked about this last week, but Brussen is retired from competitive Overwatch.
Boston Uprising discussion, which was really awkward because I tried to explain why they would sign Punk as an off tank, considering their roster needs, and I just stumbled over my words a bunch and couldn't really make sense of it. And this is why, because they knew that Brussen was retiring, and we didn't. So this makes things make a lot more sense now. Overall, Punk had a very good debut this weekend. Undefeated in Overwatch League, pretty sure. So he's got that going for him. And so that rounds out that discussion from last week. That was awkward.
Pin has been put in it. But my aforementioned statement starts off here. Slime has joined the Soul Dynasty. And as we saw in their match this week, maybe that wasn't the...
I don't know if he got in this week. I meant to check, and I got to start watching the Asian matches slightly after I wake up instead of literally I'm still in bed and I put them on so that I can process things.
Yeah.
I think he's going to jump right in over Toby as the main support there for Soul. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think he was active this weekend, but again, I could be mistaken there. It's back to being very confused about Soul and not knowing exactly where they stand, but hopefully, it's confirmation from chat that I was right there. And Slime didn't quite get in yet, but again, the team kind of dissolved when they were in Korea. It was almost seemingly about going back to Vancouver instead of staying. So it should be pretty straightforward for Slime to get integrated. He doesn't need to move back, and Korea enforces a 14-day quarantine, so he doesn't have to wait that out. He should have already been through that.
Yep.
We're looking forward to seeing Slime there on Seoul, and I think there's a decent chance that levels them up quite a bit. I don't think Toby was a massive issue for Seoul necessarily, but I think Slime is a significant upgrade and should help improve Seoul and their performance immediately out of the gate once he gets in.
Yeah, and as we'll talk about in a bit, might just need it, but
yes.
Moving right along, Janu and Stitch have joined the Washington Justice. Is this going to make a difference for the just massively and almost always underperforming Justice?
Well, we've talked a little bit recently about some of the changes that have gone on that weren't super well publicized or announced. One of them being roster size change to 7. Another big thing was that 14-day contracts are allowed to be signed by these players.
Okay.
So they can have very, very short-term temporary contracts. And I believe both Janu and Stitch are on 14-day contracts for the Washington Justice.
Interesting.
That allows them to play through the May Melee, and I want to say the week after next week as well, they might be able to participate. It's hard we don't know exactly when the contracts got signed and know how that all works. 2 weeks for both, and we'll have to wait and see. I mean, Stitch was absolutely needed. Tatuba was the only DPS left on the Washington Justice, so they needed to bring somebody in. I think Janu's obviously just a very skilled off-tank player, and I think he gives them a little bit of something that maybe Elevote just wasn't kind of bringing to the table. Mm-hmm. But we need to kind of hold off on this, as we have no idea what the length of time they're going to actually be spending with the Washington Justice is. But I really like this as an ability to like extended try people out. Hey, especially a situation like this where these guys might be playing from Korea on the NA servers. How are they going to handle the ping difference? Things like that. Is it too much even for their skill level? And do the players want to commit to doing this over the course of a season, participating in practices across on the other continent's time frame?
Right.
Quite a party going on over there.
Yeah, something like that.
But yeah, so this is going to be interesting to monitor going forward. We did see them play. Positive Stitch played. Janu, I believe, didn't turn them around. It just almost isn't going to be enough, especially on the short notice, the ping issues, all that stuff. Just going to be a little rough. So didn't equate to a win this week against the Florida Mayhem, who, again, I've yet to play.
Man, they have just looked amazing.
Oh, they're so good. Like the best team ever, right?
I'd say top five.
Easily top five. Based off the last four performance against bottom three opponents for all of them. But so we'll have to wait and see. But so far, so good, at least for Jono and Stitch and their new, possibly temporary home.
Yeah, the 2 week contracts are very interesting because it seems like, I mean, it's obviously done because of the pandemic, right? Like there's going to be like, it's some wiggle room, some technical stuff to help teams and also help players, you know, get through this. Like, hey, you might want to sign someone from a different region, but they literally can't leave or they don't want to leave or what have you in these times. So 2 week contracts, if it works out, great. Negotiate I don't know if we know a lot of the details on these. I mean, if it's just like 2 weeks done, if there's any sort of extension, it might just be case by case, but it's good. It helps the teams obviously keep the games going, keeps the league going. And, you know, the players, you know, it gives opportunities to some of these players who, you know, maybe they're not quite at an Overwatch League level or they haven't gotten that opportunity, but they're available and they're good. Give them a chance to show themselves. Obviously, this isn't the case because, you know, Jono and Stitch obviously come from an Overwatch League team, but it seems like something that could really open up some interesting opportunities for players in the future. So
yeah, something I want to point out, we did hear from some league sources and things like that. We're posting just like on Reddit or Twitter or something, but that this was something proactive that was put into place basically almost as soon as the COVID announced. This wasn't something that was like made up to accommodate the retirements or anything like that. Right. There was some credit where it's due to the league. There was some good solid forethought put into how they were going to handle things, and this was part of it. There's nobody globally that's not at an increased risk of becoming sick and needing medical treatment at the moment. You can't have the teams just be completely hard stuck and forced to play with you know, their off-role players or something like that, right? So why not give them some flexibility to bring somebody in on a short-term basis while somebody, you know, needs a break due to illness or something like that. And we've been pretty lucky in the Overwatch scene overall. I think Avast is the only one I know of that's really come down with COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever you want to call it. So obviously all signs seem to be good from him as far as his overall health are concerned, but it's, you know, we've been lucky so far. Hopefully we continue to be, and everybody's being smart and maintaining their social distancing practices and things like that. But it's great of the league to kind of give this flexibility and had the cross benefit of some of the other retirements and things like that. If it puts teams in a tough spot, they've got an out that doesn't break the bank and force them into, you know, a long, long-term contract. Like Washington would have needed to commit to paying somebody how much money and how much prep, like how much notice did Corey and Stratus give them? We don't know. It could have been not very much for all we're aware. And then now they get to make a signing, make a move to bring somebody in while they evaluate whatever they want to do. So great move there. Great on the Justice to utilize those contracts while they're available, and great on the league to make them an option.
You know, what this may, obviously this, I agree with all that. It's all very good. Good on the league for being proactive there. What this reminds me of instantly, or makes me think of instantly, is like the old, like turn of the century, like baseball stories. I don't even know if these are true, where like, the Yankees in 1911 hired a horse to steal a base in the World Series, something like, or like there's a story about how they like had a 2-day contract with someone who was like 3 feet tall, just so that they could, like, they would have him in so that it would be super hard to strike him out or to hit the strike zone because they're only 3 feet tall or whatever. I want to see some wacky sign. I want to see at least one wacky signing. Like, I don't know what it would be, but I want to see.
Like, have Chipsa, and they used him, and that's not enough for you.
No, it's not. I want more. I want a wacky 14-day signing.
He wants to be called off the bench from his popcorn vendor
position. Yes, what I'm saying is, any Overwatch League team that's looking to sign someone that is a podcaster, that is me, I'm in. I'll even install Overwatch to do it. I'll play in the scrims 2 weeks. I'll take a 2-week vacation and grind some Overwatch. And you know what? I'll come back. I'll do it for a documentary. I'll have someone document it. And I'll come back and I'll let you know just how arduous and horrible it is to have to go into work and play Overwatch for 2 weeks, and how much I'll miss my regular 9-to-5 job after that.
You'll be so burnt out, you won't be able to
be so burnt out. Oh God, that is a hill that both of us will die on, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just no, there's really no, there's no coming back from that. Okay, a little bit sidetracked, but still some more news here. Bazzi, as well as the coach, from Hangzhou Spark, have left. Again, we've talked about retirements and whatnot the past two episodes. Check those out if you want to get.
We don't have any firm information or solid announcements from the team or anything.
Yeah.
At least that I've seen, there may have been something like translated or whatever on Reddit from Bazzi to speaking as to why, but we don't know the motivations here on either of them. So.
Yep. Next up here,
as far as the player side goes, and we'll get to it in a second, Hangzhou is going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Twilight has joined the San Francisco Shock. It's a pretty big one.
Big in name. Not super sure it's big on impact. Right. I do join the broadcast, who was apparently sad about it. I say that because they said the word sad, I think, 218 times I counted roughly on the broadcast when discussing this. They are correct. This is not likely to be a huge impact signing for the San Francisco Shock. They were well equipped in the flex support department with Violet. So one thing I will say is Twilight is, to me, heads and shoulders, a better Ana player. I think it's, you know, 6-to-5 and pick them which you want on Zenyatta, if that's the role they need. They're both great there. So I expect San Francisco to use Twilight. I'm not saying that he's not going to hit the stage. I just don't think it really moves the needle on where this team is in the standings or how they're going to perform.
Right.
I also think there's some teams maybe, you know, shaking things up a little too much. And I think there was some benefit. Not saying it's a positive, but there was some benefit in the Sinatra retiring in that it forced them to focus in a little more on who is going to be playing.
Right.
Again, not a net positive, not what I'm saying, but there was a silver lining to it. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of go back on that a little bit in the support side. But listen, hugely talented player, right? Mm-hmm. Easily for me, somebody that was in the MVP conversation last year, more so than two players from this team that were actually in the MVP conversation, and one of which won it. I thought Twilight may have been a better choice, you know, there. So, I mean, this is a great player that they've added. And from the team perspective, look at all these other 19 teams that didn't sign Twilight. We're right. trying to win another championship. So yeah. great for San Francisco from there.
Yeah.
And if there's anybody you're going to trust to make use of these players and not have it be a problem, it's Coach Krusty.
Yep.
He's our John Madden. He's our you know, our Bill Belichick, our Vince Lombardi.
Yeah,
you know, he's the premier coach yep. in the league. So you just kind of got to put your faith in him and mm-hmm. trust that it's going to work when they bring in somebody that talented.
Yeah, I mean, the denial pickup is super relevant for sure, especially very, with a lot of these teams in flux. I'm wondering, so, and I would imagine that you probably would be the same way, Death, but if I was on either the front office, you know, GM side or a coach side for these Overwatch League teams, when Sinatra announces the retirement, because he was kind of obviously was the marquee retirement, right? And then we've seen a few after, you know, here and there. You got to have like a team meeting or something being like, hey, if you're going to retire, you need to let me know now. Like, cards on the table, like whatever.
Open discussion. We get it. You're under contract. We can't stop you. If you're here, we're going to play you. But like, if you're considering it, hopefully the players are being forthright with the teams
right.
when they're at least even remotely approaching surety or any level of doubt even.
Right.
It's tough to say. You don't want to tilt your hand too much, right? Like when you're looking for work, you don't do it on the work computer so that they know.
Right.
Then they just let you go. But it's definitely a balancing act. There's no obligation on the players to give any sort of notice
right.
or anything like that. But you have to hope that the teams have a pretty good handle on how their players are feeling and things like
right.
that. I mean, you should be able to see a drop off in their commitment levels and scrims and their passion. And
yeah.
if you're with them that often, harder now that they're all from home.
Right. Well, it's just a weird time anyway. Right. And like, things yeah. are super different, so it might be a little hard to see that.
We're all distracted. Yeah. Everybody's distracted.
So. I'm just curious if any of the teams like were forthright about it. Like, hey, if you're thinking about retiring, we need to know. Like that sort of thing. I don't know.
The one I'd guess that we might have been blindsided was Washington.
Yeah, it seems
that,
like
that was a rough go, and it seemed out of left field for me. Sinatra had at least been like streaming a lot of Valorant, and you could have you never predicted that, but I think afterwards, once it happened, you were a little less surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just saw Sinatra stream show up more often than Corey's because it's probably a little higher in the list. But
yeah,
but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, definitely, definitely interesting. All right, and the last piece of news we have here to talk about this week is Architect has joined the Hangzhou Spark.
Bazi who? that's a phenomenal signing. This is a great pickup there. I've been a little bit going nuts. Like Architect and Striker are premier DPS players mm-hmm. in Overwatch League for me. So it's been a little crazy not to get to see them. And this is kind of the opposite of the Twilight signing, right? Where I'm like mad that it's a little upsetting that like talent is consolidating onto the defending championship roster.
Right.
Well, and we've got the opposite end of it here. And it's worth noting that Architect was kind of the Anna fill-in for San Francisco, at least at one point earlier in the year, they used him for that. So with them bringing in Twilight, maybe they see their abilities and options to use him if anything got back to all Anna all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to be using Architect for that. So get some value for him, move him off in a trade.
Yeah.
And I think great for Hangzhou. Probably great for Architect, given the global climate, to go
right.
back and be closer to home. But again, keep in mind, if he was in NA, he's then got to be quarantined for 14 days
right.
when he gets back to Korea.
Yep.
So there might be a bit of a delay there. If you're a Hangzhou fan, they might be making do in the May Melee and maybe the weekend after that.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll wait and see. I think once he's there, it gives them a chance. This is a team that needs a shot in the arm. It's a smaller region over there, one we thought they were going to be at the top end of the standings for, and that's not been the case. And this is the timing. Everything, I think, is very, very good and very correct in this move to try to help Hangzhou get back into that playoff discussion for the end of season.
Yeah, it always stinks seeing, like, these, like you said, Striker and Architect being, like, I mean, we saw it literally with Striker, a franchise-level DPS. It just was unfortunate for him that the franchise that he happened to be the franchise DPS for originally. Like, when they're on the bench or they're just subs, it kind of felt like that with Shadowburn, too. Though you can make the argument Shadowburn's not the same level. Whatever. From where we were coming from and what Shadowburn was beforehand, it seemed like that. It just stinks with to see that. And we have not seen in the first two seasons of Overwatch League, like, we haven't seen as many trades, any big, you know, wheeling and dealing as much. We've seen, you know, some here and there, most out of necessity. Nothing like... I feel like we've seen very few, like, active trades and more reactive trades or pickups or drops and pickups. There hasn't been, like, the big, like, four team swap, you know, like, I don't know. It just...
It's probably do. Yeah, it's... I don't know if that's perception or not, because personally, I feel like we get more trades than you would in a traditional sport. At least player for player trades or player involved trades.
Right.
We don't have players for draft picks, which
makes it a little rougher. There's fewer resources to actually give
up. But you do have the ability to just basically pay, you know, put money on the one side, which has helped. And that's maybe it's that the buyouts of players don't feel like trades, right?
Yeah,
nothing went back to San Francisco here. So it just feels like a drop and a sign in a way that it's not. But, you know, you got a lot of them. You got like Dante going to Houston is one.
That's true.
You know, there's we're missing plenty of them just by virtue of how long ago they happened, you know, a couple of years ago. But I feel like there's been a decent amount, but they hit different when it's a player for money instead of prospects or draft capital or something.
Right. Yeah. I think that's just a marketing thing that they should embrace. Cause I mean, it always goes back to like, the league and the community wants and needs more content than just the matches. Like that's the ecosystem.
Can't we just like use the word trade? Right. Does it have to say like, because San Francisco tweets out like, Architect has moved on to another Overwatch League team.
Right.
And then Hangzhou says Architect, we've signed Architect or something like that. And like, shouldn't there be a big, bold, like trade alert?
Yes.
San Francisco has sent.
Exactly.
That to me is what it is. Make it feel better or feel closer to that.
Exactly.
Is. The announcement in that way.
It's a marketing.
And that again, to me, this is a little bit, and it, don't worry, I promise, not going on the rant, but this is a little bit on the transparency side of things. Like players or teams should be submitting transactions to the league, and then the league should be approving and announcing them as they approve them.
Right.
And it should be the Overwatch League Twitter account that says trade alert. This has happened.
Mm-hmm. And then the teams can fancied up or whatever, but
they can time it with the teams, right? So that way they're all press, you know, the tweets are all sending at the exact same minute, and it's
right,
you know, you're not scooping the team or robbing them of their announcement or whatever.
Well, just have it be like on Tuesdays and Thursdays at noon PST is when trade updates go up. Like that's just the PR time that they go up or whatever the days are. They should do it like that. But
I mean, with the global league, it would be a little weird to limit it. I just think like, okay, we've approved it, announce it, just like ship the info.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's does seem to be a little clunky in the announcements of these, and there could be clearer definitions and clearer terminology being used, and just say the word trade when a player moves from one team to another in exchange for money, anything. What is that
if goods not a or trade? Services
So let's just call it a trade and
just brand it a trade. I think that there's definitely like it sounds stupid, but it's things like that people know what a trade is. I mean, people know what signing a player is too, but like, it doesn't feel the same. It's like a tweet that goes up, and you know, some of the teams do a better job than others at like doing a little like video or whatever, but like, trade so-and-so for so-and-so, trade so-and-so for money, trade so-and-so, whatever it is. Like, maybe there's a legal reason why they can't do that, but that's just stupid if it is. I disagree with that if that's the case. But,
and come up with another word, or, you know, come up with, speak to the lawyers, find out how you can, but make it consistent in the way it's announced and the terminology that's used.
Yes.
And then, yeah, try to find any way you can.
That's the stuff that's going to help bring the league together and feel more like a league and less like a random smattering of stuff. Okay. Let's move on here and let's get into
Tournament Talk. It's Tournament Talk.
All right. Got some matches to go over here. Starting off, we had the Seoul Dynasty lose 3-0 versus the Chengdu Hunters. Shanghai won 3-0 versus London Spitfire. NYXL won 3-1 over Hangzhou Spark. Your boys, the Outlaws, took down the Titans 3-0. As we mentioned before, Florida Mayhem won 3-1 versus the Washington Justice. As we may have hinted at the beginning of the show, and I'm sorry, Shrug, who is in chat right now, Boston Uprising won 3-2 over the Los Angeles Gladiators. Don't worry, it pained me just as much to say it as it pains you. Not really. San Francisco Shock won 3-0 versus the Atlanta Reign. Guangzhou Charge won 3-2 versus the Chengdu Hunters. Hangzhou Spark wins 3-0 versus London Spitfire. Paris Eternal 3-0 over the Dallas Fuel. Philadelphia Fusion 3-0 over the Vancouver Titans. And the Los Angeles Valiant won a heartbreaker for Death and I 3-2 over the Toronto Defiant. Death, any matches here that really stuck out to you?
Well, the trap game, and that's what it was. Let's be real. I don't think Boston is suddenly a viable team. I don't think the Gladiators are suddenly in major trouble. I think the Gladiators are a little bit closer to what I thought they were going to be coming into the year, maybe, mm-hmm. is what we're learning. And this was a slow learn over time.
Sure.
But anytime a match touches map six, I'm in for it. That means there was two draws, and I just think that's just the funniest, best thing ever. It doesn't mean you're getting the cleanest, crispest Overwatch in the world. And I really think we need to throw that out as like a criteria to call something a great or a very good match.
Right.
It was super fun to watch. They drew Hanamura. Let's see, where else did they draw?
Six would be one draw, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Five. One draw.
Yeah. 3-2 is five.
Right, yeah, because then you go into five, and then, okay, yeah. So they drew Hanamura. It took two draws to get them to seven for the ultimate, I don't even know what you call that, just the tire fire or whatever it was. It was
tire fire.
Yeah, glorious is what it was. But yeah, so we get the one draw here to take us to six, and that just, it gets extra chaotic, even though I hate that it comes down to, three King of the Hill maps or control maps being played. It's a little unavoidable when you need to get into that tiebreaker scenario, since the game mode just, it's physically impossible to draw on it. It's a little bit needed. It was great to see that one. A lot of fun there, a little less fun if you're a Gladiators fan. I know a lot of people are talking about it. I'm going to address it. I think the Gladiators should really consider signing somebody. I think Architect would have been a great option for them, but Hexall is available, and there's got to be other projectile DPS players that I think can step in. Mirror's not been looking great, and yeah, just the Gladiator DPS in general hasn't felt optimal. I've been surprised by how good Bird Rings played. He seems a little revitalized, so I think they're okay on hit scan, but they need something flashier on the DPS side than what they've currently got. Hopefully they do find a way to address that, but either way, we're still talking about a top half team, I think, with the Gladiators. They're just so anchored by their support line. They started not using Big Goose. Like, they had an actual small goose in there for a little while with Paintbrush, and then just couldn't get things in order enough to take it down after they swapped Big Goose back in. So yeah, to me, this was a trap game. You know, they gave somebody their Overwatch League debut.
Yeah.
They fell apart a little bit and then they just couldn't quite bring it back, you know, especially a team like Boston that are perceived rightfully to be so far down in the standings and in the power rankings and things like that. You get real nervous when you fall behind against that team.
Right.
You saw that with some of the close losses for Shanghai last year. You could see some teams just get a little shaky as it got close.
Because it's like, oh God, it's actually going to happen. Oh no, not us.
We can't be the ones. We can't be the ones, you know, and that puts you on your back foot. And when you're on your back foot, it's really easy to get pushed over from there.
True.
So yeah, that to me is kind of the story of that game. There were some other good ones that were the almost reverse sweeps. Chengdu almost got the reverse sweep on Guangzhou. But Guangzhou held it off in map five. Same story for the Valiant over Toronto. Those were both really, really good matches. I mean, you just said it, like Houston beat Vancouver, but they dismantled Vancouver. As a Houston fan, that was great to see. It was worth noting it was Hydration's not really debut at main tank. He's played it before, but they put him in, didn't take him out. Mooma didn't play a map, a minute, anything in that match. Again, it's versus Vancouver. Yeah. What this tells me is that Houston wants Hydration to be ready in the event that he's needed. Maybe they're considering splitting time. I don't know. I did peek in on the Lone Star Challenge a little bit. I'm not using that for much, but they were splitting the two there a little bit. So it does seem like they're really looking to maybe fully transition Hydration into the main tank role. Whether or not he becomes a starter or anything like that, we'll have to wait and see. But Hydration did play all the time in the Vancouver match, and we'll have to see how they handle their main tank position going forward.
I mean, it's a good time. Like, I'm glad we talked about it before. I'm glad we're starting to see, like, hey, this is very likely going to be a gimme match, right? And like, even though it's a gimme match, even though it's garbage time, whatever you want to call it, it is still, you know, air quotes, on stage experience. It's different than scrims. You know, if you're playing a scrim or, you know, a practice, even against another team, it is going to be different. The mindset is different. The tone is different. Everything, it all is different from playing an actual match that matters, even if it's not close. So getting, you know, a player like Hydration, who is in a different role, not necessarily a brand new role for him, but a different role nonetheless. Hey, this is what it's going to be like in the match. Not that Hydration hasn't played matches before, but it's a different thing. You're playing a new position. It's all different. Get the reps in when you get the chance. And I'm glad that Houston actually did that. Unfortunately, it seemed like Gladiators were trying to do that too, but maybe misjudged the opponent.
Yeah,
a little bit,
Gladiators was more, I don't want to make it sound like that was all on Paintbrush either. I didn't watching it. It didn't seem like he was playing exceptionally poorly or whatever, but I mean, listen, I thought Neptuno's looked good on Guangzhou, but then all of a sudden he's out for visa issues. They're back to their old main support, and like the synergy just is a little bit better. And like, main tank is one of those roles that's so active in comms and has the ability to make such an impact from a shot calling perspective that it just can really change the way a team operates. You know, I think Moth is a big factor in San Francisco's turnaround, the least talked about factor on that team probably. And the guy's just made massive plays at all times, and he's been so big for them. And I think even if you took, you know, somebody like a Slime or somebody else that's perceived to be one of the better main supports in the league, that would massively impact what the Shock were able to do, because I think the role is just very, very important to team synergy, cohesion, and overall performance, even if mechanically they're not the highest impact position on the stage. But it's hard not to think of that when you watch guys like FD God or Moth run around and get 3K boops all the time, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, last thing I wanted to talk about for the matches last week, Death, is Toronto, because we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show, and I posed the question or rather I made the comment, I don't remember the last time I saw Toronto win. And you looked it up, and it was actually a month ago to the day of this recording. Against Boston. What's that?
It was against Boston.
Oh, it's and it was against Boston. So when was the last time we saw them win a real match? I literally don't remember. So the question, Death, is, you know, what is going on with Toronto? Are we, you know, there's only so much we can do. The roster's not, you know, feasibly, you know, we haven't seen any reason to think that the roster's changing. You know, like you said, we said in the pre-show, they're making little bits of progress, but you need to be making, I think that the phrase you used was making progress or improvement in a vacuum doesn't actually matter. You need to be making improvement in relation to the rest of the teams. You need to be improving at a certain rate or else your improvement doesn't matter at all.
Yeah. That's something we saw Houston do. Houston was as low as it gets early in the year, and now they're a mid-table team. You know, you saw them level up, and they shot up out of a cannon when they went from bottom of the league to mid-table, mm-hmm. right? You have to have big jumps and big strides. As far as Toronto's concerned, there's two positions to me. We've just talked about one of them, main support. It just is a massive impact that's changed for this team. They're moving to Cruz. So I think they're going to develop some better synergy there. But main tank's another one. And we've seen that time and time again where a new main tank comes in and it really changes the outlook of a team. And I think that's the main thing that they're missing. Mm-hmm. But I can't pretend like it's the only problem. Where's Sherfor? Levins, where is the man? I don't know how much he played this weekend, but I know it wasn't enough for me. Right. I want to see him in just about all the time. I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to go out and pick him up just to, you know, be playing agilities right. and logics. Agilities is fine on his specific roles, but Sherfor is top level at every single DPS hero in the game. Like, he's legitimately a budget profit for me. And I think taking him out is doing them a pretty big disservice. Mm-hmm. I would, you know, lock in logics when you need something hit scan at all times in a meta, lock in agilities when you need something specifically in his wheelhouse, like the Doomfist or like, trying to think like maybe Pharah Junkrat. I don't, you know, those kind of roles, but otherwise, you know, if you're playing Hanzo or Echo or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't even care. Maybe it's, you know, you go back and forth McCree to Hanzo or maybe Widowmaker or something like that. Like their versatility and their ability to adapt in game goes down tremendously without Sherfor. And I just don't understand why we're not seeing him. Truth be told, it makes so little sense to me. I've been half expecting the retirement.
Right. Like, so there's something,
not because I have any reason to think he wants out or right. anything like that, but just why aren't we playing him again? Like, I just don't understand. I'm looking at the maps from this match here to see if he played at all. They ended logics, agilities. Yeah, every single map was logics, agilities. So to me, one map without Sherfor in it is incorrect. And I don't want to harp on that too much because I do think the biggest issue is the main tank. I haven't been overly impressed with Beast, and I would love to see that be upgraded. I said going into the year, you know, bringing in Beast as a possibility or as a player prospect is great, and it's fine. I didn't want him to be the lone main tank option for the team. And I think, you know, they need at least bench pressure to force him to play better. Sometimes that does actually make a difference.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But also just the ability to go to a different option if it's not working. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibility for a team to have a Winston specialist and to have a Reinhardt specialist and to play the guy that you think is going to play most on whatever role. Like, if you think it's a Winston week, you play Beast. If you think, you know, so I go out there and find one. There's been options. To me, Fact Fiction would have been a great option for this team. I think he's since retired. But you know, there was choices that were not signed and it was done with room on the roster. And it was always to me the most perplexing thing, especially when last year main tank was their big problem. And you know, they never quite got that figured out and situated, and then they just opted right back into the same situation, and it's just the player's name is Beast instead of Yakpung now, and the problems are different, but it's still problems with the position and things like that. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't a roster I ever thought was going to be competing for a championship, but I did think they had a real shot at being a solid competitive mid-table right. team that maybe hits the right meta in the playoffs and can go on a bit of a run, but probably would have to like qualify through play-ins, and that's yeah. not what we're getting. So yeah, hopefully things get better with Cruz in. I think he's going to give them some improvement, but I want to see a main tank addition. Like if their funds aren't frozen and they were able to acquire Cruz, they didn't have to. They could have just moved Roki into Owl and right. used him. So you can't, you know, they weren't financially completely handcuffed there. So if there's funds to be spent, to me, a new main tank over Beast would have been more valuable than, as much as I love Cruz, bringing in Cruz over Roki. You know, Roki's to me proven to be okay and viable.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I need to see more from the main tank position before mm-hmm. I'm going to think this team can really change their outlook on the season.
Right. Yeah. Beast over Yakpung was probably an upgrade, or it but it feels more like a sideways upgrade, like a change rather than an upgrade, maybe a little bit up. Sure. But again, that little amount of growth or improvement, it's not enough. Like we were hoping and pegging, just looking at the roster, you know, Toronto maybe can be a mid-table team. You know, I think our goal for them was like, let's get them to be a play-in team. Like if they can get into the play-in talk, and like you said, maybe make a run, maybe it's a meta that they like, etc. But right now it's like, if they play against Boston, we're probably picking Toronto, right? But should we? I think so. I hope so.
Yeah, but 100,000%.
You say that, but we said that last week too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'd go back and pick that match the same way again.
True,
next week.
I would too. but you know, I guess we'll see if Toronto can make a can have a turnaround here. But we'll leave it at that, and we'll talk more about it as the season progresses. But we still need to talk about the May Melee regional tournaments. We'll start with the Asia side. So both regions got to the higher seed got to pick their opponents. Asia has already done that because they had the right number of teams and all the matches are set up. NA has one 12th seed match to play between Toronto and Vancouver before they can actually have the matches set up. So I guess we'll go over what the bracket looks like on the NA side, but there aren't any matches ready to play yet. So on the Asia side, we do have the Hangzhou Spark versus Seoul Dynasty on one at the top here. In the middle, we've got Excelsior versus Hunters and Shanghai Dragons versus London Spitfire. So the winner of Hangzhou Spark versus Seoul Dynasty is going to be playing against the Guangzhou Charge, who got a first round bye because they are the number one seed. So, Death, Hangzhou Spark versus Seoul Dynasty, what do you got on this match?
Well, I do want to point out, we talked about did we mention getting to pick your opponents?
Yes.
Yeah, we did. That's already happened. So Shanghai had first pick. Guangzhou with the number one seed was locked in with a first round bye.
Yep.
Shanghai they then picked win first
for their first opponent
and chose the London Spitfire.
Yes.
So that is who they believe is the weakest team in mm-hmm. the region. Notable, not the lowest seed, right? Seoul was sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
Next, the New York Excelsior got to pick. They chose the Chengdu Hunters. Again, notably, did not select the lowest seed Seoul Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hangzhou was then essentially stuck taking Seoul. And then that's why the brackets are the way they are.
Yes.
Right? So those were the shot calls, right? The Shanghai wanted London. And then with the choice of Chengdu or Seoul, New York chose Chengdu. Mm-hmm.
Now, could New York have picked Hong Zhao?
No.
Okay.
No. Hong Zhao was not one of the possible selections because they had the fourth seed. So as far as that match goes, I'm going to go with the opposite end of the bracket here. Without being able to plug in Architect, Hong Zhao did have a pick. All right, anyways, go back and watch. I didn't see the actual selections. I didn't even see a video of it. I went back, tried to watch the broadcast. Maybe
that
I just missed
it. It doesn't make sense that Hong Zhao would have the pick, though, because they were the lowest seed of those.
Yeah, they were the lowest seed of the teams that are there. Anyways.
Those are the matches. Anyway. However they lined up, you can watch the video.
Right. I'm pretty sure I had it right the way I explained it, but chat disagrees with me.
It at least makes
sense
based on the seedings of the teams.
Without getting to see it, that's how I interpret the brackets I'm looking at. Hong Zhao versus Seoul. I'm going to take Seoul in this matchup. I think there's a reason the other teams weren't picking them, and I think that's that they started to find their legs a little bit. They're looking better. I don't know. And listen, I think going into things without hero pools to take a look at, I think their double shield is a little bit more viable than it is in in certain hero pools where like Reinhardt gets banned or something like that, and I think it becomes very viable. So if they want to play that, I think they'll be well equipped. Hong Zhao, I do not expect to have Architect unless he's playing on a high ping, and then I don't know that I'm super scared of him in that instance unless I see it happen, you know, and see it work for him. And they're down Bozzy, right? So they're significantly worse than they've been, and Hong Zhao's been on the struggle bus as of late. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna lean on Seoul, who's also been on the struggle bus. True. No doubt about that.
Living swingy,
so I'm picking. Yeah, they showed it at least one point, and I'm not sure I've really seen that from Hong Zhao. And then there's just lining up the rosters and looking at the talent up and down, and just seeing who's gonna be able to take it. I'll go Seoul in this one. It's very coin flippy to me. Who do you got?
Yeah, I think I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It's tough to pick either of these teams right now. I think
I really don't want to pick either.
Yeah, if I'm just going with the gut, I got to go with Seoul as well. It's so tough because Seoul lost 0-3 versus Chengdu this week. I believe they won last week, and then they got blown out 0-3, I think twice the week before. It's just... It's the classic Seoul story. They play weird lineups. They don't perform when they should. That said, Seoul does tend to play decent in playoff situations. This is kind of like a playoff a little bit. It's definitely something that they should be taking seriously. And notably, I know you had a discussion about this, Death, notably not an exhibition match. By definition, not an exhibition match because these matches do matter.
I used to talk about all stage playoffs where our team's going to be trying. This isn't that. I might like these less than stage playoffs. They're way more important, and the teams are absolutely going to be giving 110% because adding wins to your record is massive, and it can really erase terrible, like, adding three wins takes like, oh, we were really bad for an entire month, and we're just going to erase that from the records and just replace three losses with wins. That's nuts. That's a huge impact. So teams are going to be going all out for this.
Yep. So with that said, give me Seoul. All right. Next match here, we've got NYXL versus Chengdu Hunters. I mean, we know how easiest 5-0 of my life for NY. But Death, who do you have?
Well, I mean, what do you want New York to play? Like, what are you hoping they're going to run to get this 5-0?
I mean, I'm really hoping that we don't have Who Are You on May. That's all I care about. I don't care if it's SBB or Who Are You. I think if the team has any inclination of who is better overall, play that one. Play them and leave. It's just the swapping, it's not a good look. It's not been working. It has cost them in cases. And like, I'm hoping that they actually play to the meta a bit. I don't want to see the, oh, well, Huaryu's Genji's out. Doesn't make any sense into double shield, but he's got it, and he's going to nano, but just play standard, please. You're a good team. For the love of everything, please.
I'll take New York here, and I'll take them 3-1. We've got a couple recent results in New York versus Chengdu, and they've gone 3-1 and 3-0 in favor of New York. So I think they chose them for good reason. They think they line up well against them and can take them down. And the recent results, maybe not super, super recent, but they bear that out. I feel pretty confident New York's going to be able to get this particular dub. But again, they can really hurt themselves. I don't have a strong, and we'll spoiler alert on the meta talk. I don't have a strong take on what this meta will be. I haven't played much since they took Hero Pools away from me because like it Hero Pools gave me back that dynamic gameplay that like I fell in love with when the mm-hmm. game released. And mm-hmm. then it feels like they went psych and pulled the carpet out from underneath me. And I just don't want to go back to like getting walled off on by May on Reinhardt all the time. And so I haven't been playing heavy to know all the interactions, how they feel. And you know, I do use that a little bit and kind of how I weigh things for the meta conversations, but also Echo is just such a wrench. And we've had like what, two hero pools with her and yes. she's been impactful, but like now all bets are off, right? You've got McCree if you want it. Teams have been loving the Ashe picks. You know, you've got Widow if you want it. You can run whatever tank combos you like, just there's no restrictions. Are you really gonna not run May? She's been format defining forever, but Echo might legitimately make her irrelevant if you're May trying to right click an Echo out of the sky. Good luck, you're not gonna do it. So I don't know exactly how the meta is gonna pan out here, but to me, you know, Libero's got to be in there because he gives you the ability to run the May. He gives you the ability to run the Echo. And he's got the deep hero pool that you want your Echo player to have. So to switch to, you know, whatever character when he alts and just get value out of it. That's Libero. It feels tailor-made for him. Mm-hmm. And I want to see him on it instead of Huaryu personally. And also because if you want the May option, he's got to be it. We've seen that for this team.
Huaryu so. May is a no.
I will go with New York there. I'll call it 3-1 because Chengdu just they get under your skin, so they'll like force them into weird comps or something trying to counter and like maybe get a map, but otherwise it should be a New York win.
Yep. All right, and the last match in the quarterfinals is Shanghai Dragons versus the London Spitfire. What do you got, Duff?
Absolutely Shanghai, not close. 3-0.
Yep. That is my thoughts as well. Do we want to talk about our projected semifinals or?
Yeah, we don't got to go in detail because it's all happenstance. But if it's Guangzhou versus Seoul, who you got?
I am going to go with the Guangzhou Charge. They've just been.
You might not understand it, but it's undeniable how they got to this one seed, right? Yeah. Like they literally just beat everybody.
Yeah. I mean, just win forehead. They said, okay, sure, I'll do it. Give me Guangzhou in that match.
Yeah, gotta go the same. I think that one might be Guangzhou's just clean and Seoul's so iffy. Seoul can absolutely take it down.
Oh yeah.
And I think that if Seoul's playing their best, then I want Seoul to win, right? I like what Guangzhou's doing, but I don't have any real love there.
Right.
So, to me, a peak Seoul versus a Shanghai team is the matchup that I kind of want. I don't know. Guangzhou, it's really hard to pick them to lose when they've been able to take down Shanghai, and Seoul's been so streaky and weird and inconsistent.
Yeah.
I'll go Guangzhou into the finals.
All right, Death, who do you have between New York and Shanghai?
Shanghai.
No,
it's easiest. It's New York. It's closer. Don't get me wrong. But you can't go picking against Shanghai. New York's nowhere near a bad team. Absolutely can take this. If you think they are going to, you know, if you think they'll play Libero in May and then they'll do that better, I totally get that. But Shanghai is just kind of been steady as she goes the whole season. They've really only had one speed, and that speed's been good enough to beat everybody but Guangzhou one time when they were just at their best. And I think that's what it would take. It would take absolutely peak performance, NYXL, probably Zen in the hero pool or in the meta, you know, being popular and being played, for Jonak to really pop off and yeah, I mean, anybody can win this game, absolutely. But Shanghai, clear favorites in my mind.
Well, I mean, obviously not. But we'll go with...
Quick coin?
Well, yeah, we'll use the coin to decide who is actually going to win.
You can give your boys the Tails Never Fails option
here. Yeah, we'll go Tails Never Fails here for NY. Ooh, that's a Tails. So if it's NY versus
Are you
Guangzhou...
you sure you know what side of the coin is?
I'm not sure, but I'm saying it's Tails. If it's NY versus Guangzhou, who do you have?
If it's NY versus Guangzhou, man, I mean, I think we've got to go to the recent results on that one. And that's been in favor of Guangzhou most recently, but it's split. I mean, New York 3-0'd Guangzhou in week 12. 2 weeks later, they dropped 3-1 on them. It's definitely up in the air, but again, Guangzhou is just very clean and consistent over recent weeks. It's hard to pick against them, against any team that's been streaky.
Yeah. What I will say, without the, you know, my New York, literally New York jersey on right now, is that in the same sense of Seoul, like, I think peak New York and peak Seoul can beat anyone in the league. It literally, peak of both those teams are top, easily top five in my mind. No, like, hands down, probably top three at peak. The problem is that they don't always play peak. They play weird stuff. They have downswings. They force metas. They go against metas. They force comps, etc. Those factors all worry me about both of those teams. If we're assuming peak, then I'm actually picking New York versus Seoul in the finals here. But I don't think that we can do that. So I want New York obviously to win, but they have the capacity to lose against any of these teams. This region has been a real treat, honestly. It's just all these matches I think are going to be good matches, and it's certainly going to be a really good one to watch overall. But we'll see. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, my only regret with that region is that it's harder to watch them, and like the average game quality is just so good that you always want to.
Yep.
But yeah.
Okay. So we'll talk briefly about the North America tournament again. The teams need to pick their opponents, but the one match we do definitely have is Toronto versus Vancouver for the 12th seed. Can we pick our boys in this one?
I am. Yeah. And honestly, 3-0. Vancouver looks rough, and it's getting to them. I think they're playing with frustration, and they've never been in a room as a six stack, right? And like, you know, had a team meeting, and that's just brutal. To be perfectly frank, it's very rough. It's not a fair way to evaluate the talent. It's not great for anything. It's just what Vancouver's stuck with. And when you're talking about that versus a team that no matter what their performance is, but they picked the players to play on the team and they picked the coach to put over them. Like, that's just such a fundamentally different conversation. You know, I had some jokes about how, with the new roster, Vancouver went to 19th in my power rankings because a clean slate's better than the Boston Uprising and all that stuff. But, they were jokes, and this is a very brutal spot for Vancouver.
Yeah.
As bad as Boston is, I'm not letting them out off the hook by any means. I do think they're stronger than Vancouver for the sake of their preseason practice prep, their early season work that they were able to do as a team and in practices. And I don't care that, you know, it's only four of those guys left. There was a core that the new additions were added to. There was something to build off of. And right now Vancouver has two players playing from Europe on terrible ping and everything stacked against them. I don't see how it's possible for anybody to pick Vancouver in this match.
Yeah, definitely. Give the boys a dub there for Toronto. But so in the round of 12, it will be the winner of that match as well as Paris, Atlanta, Paris, Atlanta, LA, and Dallas all get to choose opponents. And then the winners of those respective matches will play in the quarterfinals, where San Francisco, LA Valiant, Philadelphia Fusion, and Florida Mayhem already have round of 12 buys into the quarterfinals. So,
and the way this is going to work is on match day, I don't have the exact times, my apologies, but is the first thing we're going to see on the day of this event is that Toronto versus Vancouver match. Mm-hmm. Then they're going to a watch point break, and that's where the opponent selection will take place.
Okay.
Paris will get to pick between the winner of that match, Toronto versus Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's Toronto for the sake of conversation. They'll pick from Toronto, Washington, Houston, and Boston for who they want to play against. So if you're the Paris Eternal, let's just start filling out our bracket now. Who are you picking among those four teams? Just take Vancouver out. We'll assume
Boston.
Boston. Okay, so Paris versus Boston. Then Atlanta Reign gets to pick. They have Houston, Washington, and Toronto. If you're at, I'll pick for Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go Washington. Players, bad ping, all that stuff. I'll go Washington there. You pick for the Gladiators.
Gladiators.
You've got Toronto and Houston.
Yep, I'm picking Toronto.
All right. Awesome, because then we get the battle Dallas for Texas, which is Dallas versus Houston, which is hype, which is close, which would be a great match, and I hope we get that. So I hope we're right on that. Okay, so now we got to pick winners for those games. So Paris versus Boston.
Paris wins.
Paris across the board, both of us. Great.
Yep.
Paris goes into a pool of to-be-selected teams. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
It's going to be fun, Blevins. Yeah. Atlanta versus, who did we say? It was Boston,
it was,
right?
No. It was
Washington. It was Washington.
Yep.
Atlanta versus Washington. Who you got?
Atlanta.
Atlanta as well. Move them on. Gladiators versus
Toronto.
Toronto.
I mean, I want Toronto, but it's Gladiators.
I got to pick Gladiators, but they did just lose to Boston. So we're going to find out if it was a trap game or if the Gladiators are seriously in trouble.
Yeah.
For the sake of argument, though, I think you got to pick the Gladiators. You can't switch it after one result.
Right.
Okay. So far, the three top teams are winning. Yeah. Dallas versus Houston. Who you got?
Who won the last battle? I forget. Was it Houston? I think
the last battle on the regular season standing. It was map 5, game 5, Dallas win.
Ooh.
The Lone Star Showdown, which happened today, Houston won 4-2.
All right, give me Houston.
Okay. I don't think we'd go into a tracer-defined dive meta, which is where I really think Dallas almost needs to be, at least what it's looked like recently.
Right.
Should be super close. I still lean Houston. I'm already reading your comment. Whoever's writing it, like I from the last time we picked Houston over Dallas, I'm already reading it. I promise. We'll hear you out. We're not giving this more conversation for time purposes, because it's decisive. Very, very close, but we're both leaning Houston slightly here.
Okay.
Okay. So now San Francisco picks between Paris, Atlanta, Gladiators, and Houston.
Houston probably picks Houston. Sure, we'll give them Houston.
Okay, so San Francisco versus Houston, and I accidentally closed off my bracket. Okay, so now the Valiant get to pick next somehow. They're better than Philly in the standings. They have Gladiators, Atlanta, and Paris. Who are you picking?
That's your pick.
Oh, it's my pick. I want to see the battle for LA, and I would probably pick the team that just lost to Boston and see where they're at.
Okay.
So I'll put the battle for LA there.
Yep.
Philly.
Atlanta or Paris. Give me... Didn't they just crush Atlanta? No, that was San Francisco that did. Yeah, give me... I'll take Atlanta anyway. Give me Philly versus Atlanta.
Philly versus ATL, which means Florida versus Paris. So San Fran versus Houston. Is Houston going to repeat the upset from last year?
No.
Okay. I don't think so either. all right. So we've got the battle for Los Angeles. Who you got?
I got to go with the Valiant.
I think the Gladiators are a better team across the board, though I'm certainly nervous about a loss to Boston. I will pencil in the Gladiators, flip a coin.
All right, we'll give you Tails Never Fails for Gladiators. It is heads.
All right, coin's wrong, but the Valiant move on in our bracket.
Yes.
Philly versus
ATL.
ATL, who you got?
Philly. Philly.
Yeah, I got to go Philly. Sato gets to play on Reinhardt, and Atlanta hates Erster with a fiery passion that seems to consume their entire decision-making process.
Yep.
Without Erster. No Erster, no win. Give me Philly. Florida versus Paris.
I mean, it's got to be Paris, right? I mean, although, I mean, Florida is a top five team. They've won their last four matches.
You're not gonna get me, Levin. It's not this week. I'm on you.
Who do you have?
The Paris Eternal have beaten teams that aren't bottom three in the standings within the last month. I will be taking Paris.
Okay, so San Francisco versus LA Valiant, and Paris versus Philly. So we'll start with the top: San Francisco versus Valiant.
I didn't pick the Valiant to win, so I'm certainly in the last round. Yeah. So I'm not going to pick him this time. I'm going San Francisco.
I'm also not going to pick him. It's easy, San Francisco.
Okay.
Philly versus Paris.
Paris. This one has played out recently. Philly 3-2 a couple weeks ago. Philly 3-2 4 weeks ago. This has been 3-2 three times pretty recently.
Wow.
So this would be a great match, and I'm pretty pumped hoping it happens, but I will say plenty of those matches were with XZ.
Yeah.
And I think they are a different team, but again, they go in and think Nico's looked pretty good Echo. I think that's really given them some viability where I didn't think they had it. I just can't pick a team that's got Nico and Soon on DPS versus Carpe, EQO, Ivy. Yeah. Like, there's just multiple options. Yes, I know I didn't list Hisu. Just play Carpe forehead. I'm going to go Philly there, but man, it could be close.
Yeah.
So we're looking at a Philly-San Francisco final in our bracket.
Yep.
What you got?
So, I mean, you have to pick San Francisco, right? Right? Wrong. Give me Philly. Taking it out of nowhere. I'm going Philly. Give me Philly.
I think this is an essential coin flip in my head.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm picking to make you flip a coin for this one. Give me San Francisco. I think they're just... I mean, it's hard to pick against either one of these teams, right? That's the point. Man, as good as the support line looks for Philly, I just think it's better for San Francisco. Yeah. So unless they get in, unless the meta boils down to something that's like very Anna based, then I think San Fran should have the edge there. Yeah, it's like 51% San Francisco in my head right now. Phillies, honestly, this is like the dragon Phillies needs to slay.
Yeah,
for me to just. Okay, put them there.
Yeah.
So, man, I hope this is the finals with everything.
Pretty hype bracket. But all right,
if this is the finals, we're in for a treat. But yeah, flip that coin.
Tails never fails for Philly. That is tails. I still don't know. I'm pretty sure that's tails. No, yeah, no. The one is heads.
Yeah, the one is.
So that's going to be Philly winning the North America Finals against the San Francisco.
It was Tails.
Yeah, Tails never fails for Philly.
I got you baited. Okay.
Yes, so Philly winning this one.
So that's the, I think, probably most people's consensus finals, looking at the brackets, how they're on opposite ends of it. So the rest of it, you might disagree on the path to get there, but it felt pretty cookie cutter as we went through it. You can flip, Dallas, Houston, you could have flipped. Did we have Florida versus Paris?
Yeah.
I mean, that went the other way the last time they met. Yeah. I just think it was a long time ago and Paris had some extenuating circumstances that won't be true, this time around. So a couple that were flippable, but the NA bracket has some stinkers in it that the Asia bracket doesn't, which makes it a little more linear, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, definitely. As much as I think we're in agreement at being against this format of event affecting the the actual standings and all that. All that aside, I think the tournament that we're going to get in and of itself is going to be good. We're going to get a lot of good matches.
I wish it wasn't there, but it is, and now I'm here for it, and so I'm going to try to enjoy it
to
the best we can. And I got to tell you, if we're right about everything in the bracket, how hype would the battle for Texas and the battle for LA being in the same weekend like that, plus the powerhouse finals, like if we at least get it right to that point to get those three matches, this weekend could be an absolute blast.
Yeah. And we will certainly be letting you know how it all went next week on the show. But that is going to be the end of this week's show. Special thanks again to Bungie Bamboo, our executive producer level patron on Patreon. And of course, to all of the other Patreon supporters. Again, you guys can support us over at patreon.com/highnoonpodcast. Really does help. Don't forget to check out our Discord community. Still alive and well. And we'll be talking about the matches in the live tournament chat support over at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. Death, any last minute shout outs or anything that you want to before we go?
Play Sea of Thieves. That's it. That's all I got.
That's all he's got. All right.
I need friends.
Well, for Deathblow, I am Blevinson. Guys, remember, it's high noon.
Got his boots and he put on his hat. He threw the coin away that same day. In his past, and he's not looking back. He says, finding mine now, God's my way. He's not good, but he sure ain't bad. He'll make amends for the sins that he has. He says, I'll change the world one bullet at a time till I find mine.
All right, Vancouver, I know you're struggling. You've got nowhere to go but up. Sign me for a 14-day contract. I'll play Moira. I'll play Lucio. That's it. That's all I can play. I can't commit to anything else. That's it. Put me in, coach.